Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are exploring the importance of connecting and building strong social bridges. No matter where you think you are with your current circles, there is always room to grow, strengthen, and nurture. You may think you're a loner, but we all need someone who has our back, cares what happens to us, and encourages us along our journey. A strong social bridge refers to a meaningful and supportive connection between individuals. It's characterized by trust, mutual respect, and open communication. Strong social bridges provide a sense of belonging, emotional support, and a network of people who can help each other navigate life's challenges. These connections are essential for building a supportive community and promoting overall well-being. When was the last time you looked to your corner for support? It may be time for a little inventory. Who's there for you, and who are you there for? Our World in Data bases the following statistics on if you have a conversation with three new people every single day of your life. If you can keep this up for 73 years, you will get to know 80,000 people. That's more than 100 times the number of people you'd know by name. This is still a tiny fraction of the world. After a lifetime of speaking with people, you will have spoken to 0.001% of the world's population. For every person you've had a conversation with, there are still 100,000 people you've never spoken to. Even if you don't have the opportunity to meet three new people every day, that's a lot of people you will encounter in a lifetime. How do you categorize these relationships? Introductions? Acquaintances? Friends? Best friends? Family? What promotes a greater investment of your time, attention, and emotion? I'm going to let you think about that as we explore an 85-year Harvard study about what makes us happy, found at CNBC.com. In 1938, Harvard researchers embarked on a decades-long study to find out what makes us happy in life. The researchers gathered health records from 724 participants from all over the world and asked detailed questions about their lives at two-year intervals. Contrary to what you might think, it's not career achievement, money, exercise, or a healthy diet. The most consistent finding we've learned through 85 years of study is positive relationships keep us happier, healthier, and help us live longer, period. The number one key to a happy life? Social fitness. Relationships help us physically. Ever notice the invigoration you feel when you believe someone has really understood you during a good conversation? Or a lack of sleep during a period of romantic strife? To make sure your relationships are healthy and balanced, it's important to practice social fitness. We tend to think that once we establish friendships and intimate relationships, they will take care of themselves. But our social life is a living system and it needs exercise. Social fitness requires taking stock of our relationships and being honest with ourselves about where we're devoting our time and whether we're tending to the connections that help us thrive. Humans are social creatures. Each of us as individuals cannot provide everything we need for ourselves. We need others to interact with to help us. In our relational lives, there are seven keystones of support. 1. Safety and security. Who would you call if you woke up scared in the middle of the night? Who would you turn to in a moment of crisis? 2. Learning and growth. Who encourages you to try new things, to take chances, to pursue your life's goals? 3. Emotional closeness and confiding. Who knows everything or most things about you? Who can you call when you're feeling low and be honest with about your feelings? Number 4, identity, affirmation, and shared experience. Is there someone in your life who has shared many experiences with you and who helps strengthen your sense of who you are? Number 5, romantic intimacy. Do you feel satisfied with the amount of romantic intimacy in your life? Number 6, help, both informational and practical. Who do you turn to if you need some expertise or help solving a practical problem? Number 7, fun and relaxation. Who makes you laugh? Who do you call to see a movie with or go on a road trip with? Who makes you feel connected and at ease? Think about these 7 keystones with an exercise. Got a pen and paper? Think about a relationship you have. For each keystone, put a plus or minus sign if this relationship gives or takes. Safety and security, learning and growth, emotional closeness and confiding, identity affirmation and shared experiences, romantic intimacy, help practical and physical, fun and relaxation. Remember, it's okay if not all or even most relationships offer you all these types of supports. Think of this exercise like an X-ray, a tool that helps you see below the surface of your social universe. Not all of these types of support will feel important to you, but consider which of them do, and ask yourself if you're getting enough support in those areas. Looking at the gaps, you might realize that you have plenty of people you have fun with, but no one to confide in. Or maybe you only have one person you go to for help, or that a person you take for granted actually makes you feel safe and secure. Don't be afraid to reach out to the people in your life, whether it's a thoughtful question or a moment of devoted attention. It's never too late to deepen the connections that matter to you. I am blessed with a wonderful network made up of all kinds of people. Childhood friends. I have some of the same friends that I met in kindergarten. My childhood best friend and I met at the age of 4. I also have many coworkers, past and present, that I would consider good friends. I have a supportive family, immediate, extended, and even some I created on my own. I also have a very nurturing and loving church family. Encouragementology is all about connections. So I have groups, speaking partnerships, and my coaching clients. But those relationships didn't just fall into my lap. I put in a lot of work. Reaching out, visits, calls, texts, emails, cards, volunteering, showing up, caring, understanding, and encouraging. I say this because if your social circle is small, it's time to open yourself up to new possibilities. To actually step outside of your comfort zone and intentionally connect. Look and connect where you have never been before. Surprise yourself. Be willing to try something new. Maggie Wool offers How to Make the Connection, 10 Effective Ways to Connect with People, found at betterup.com. Have you ever changed jobs or moved to an unfamiliar city, only to find yourself wondering how to connect with new people? Building relationships can be tough. However, a connection is a part of what it means to be human. When we can do it well, our lives are far more fulfilling. From finding common ground with a stranger to making new friends over social media, social skills help us build our networks and create meaningful relationships. But connecting is about more than socializing. It's a transferable skill that can help you grow professionally and personally. Unfortunately, not everyone is excited to start making new connections. It can be awkward and uncomfortable at first, especially if you suffer from social anxiety. If that sounds like you, you're not alone. Once you become comfortable being uncomfortable, you can learn how to connect with people too. Learning how to develop better relationships with others will be worth the effort. So, here's why it's so important to connect well with others and 10 effective ways you can start today. So why? Why is it important to know how to connect with people? The importance of other people in our lives has become even more apparent since the pandemic. We've all seen the benefit of meaningful connections during hard times. These deeper connections can allow us to learn to be vulnerable, get help when we need it, and better support our friends and coworkers. If you form a strong connection with another person, you can build a meaningful relationship. And if you already have a relationship with a person, learning how to connect well with others can make it that much better. Research also shows that the strong social connections are just as important as exercise to our overall health. A deep connection with another person can boost your mood, lower blood pressure, and even decrease mortality. That's why, when it comes to taking care of your well-being, learning how to connect with people should be a high priority. The benefits of learning how to connect with people are endless. Yet, strengthening our social networks can be challenging. If you've struggled with social interactions before, it can be hard to build the confidence to put yourself out there. Shyness, introversion, and social anxiety may make people put the brakes on when connecting with others. If a person has poor self-esteem or mental health issues, they may also struggle to connect. If this sounds like you, you may need some extra support to start feeling your best. Another reason why people struggle to connect with others is that they don't know how to ask good questions. Asking good questions helps a conversation get off on the right track. Without questions that stimulate interesting conversations, people won't connect. The good news is that this is definitely a skill that can be learned and practiced. Some connections are easy, while others take time. For example, if you and a coworker went to the same school or have the same hometown, you're more likely to form an instant bond. It's also easier to make connections with people who have similar professional interests or hobbies. An easy or instant connection doesn't mean that you're going to be best friends, though. So try not to put that kind of pressure on your interactions. Friendships may develop, but we also need the looser social connections that create a sense of belonging and community and make life interesting. In some cases, making a connection takes more effort. In fact, most of the time, making new friends doesn't happen automatically. Maybe you eat lunch with a colleague who works in an entirely different part of the company. You don't understand each other's jobs or seem to have obvious common ground. However, you can probably think of times you've had amazing conversations with someone so different from you. Learning how to connect with people just requires an open mind and a few social skills. So, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, you can learn how to connect with others easily. Here are 10 tips to help you build and strengthen connections with people. Number one, be your authentic self. You can't go wrong with being yourself. Pretending to be someone you aren't can lead your relationships to be built on lies and cause confusion in the future. People make mistakes when they desperately want to fit in, but they forget that being yourself is how you make genuine connections. Being yourself might make you more vulnerable, but that's the best way to be sure your connections are authentic. Number two, respect people's boundaries. It's likely that when you get to know someone new, you'll discover their limits quickly. For example, if you're trying to connect with a coworker, you may find out that they don't want to talk about their dating life. In order to build a meaningful relationship with that person, you must respect their boundaries. Don't push them to share things that they don't want to for the sake of a connection. Ultimately, that will kill the connection. That said, try to let your conversations go beyond basic facts. If your new friend is comfortable, dive into more intimate conversations. Ask what they're passionate about, what their dreams for the future are, and what scares them. If you show your willingness to open up, they'll likely share more too. Number 3, stay focused on the present. If you're having a conversation with someone, your focus should be on them. You shouldn't be looking at your phone or thinking about what you want for dinner. One of the best ways to learn how to connect with other people is learning to be present. And don't just be present mentally. Your body language shows your friend or coworker that they have your full attention. If you aren't facing the person who's speaking, they won't feel like you care about connecting with them. Number 4, move past the surface level. Meaningful connections move past the basics of small talk. Yes, the first time you meet someone, you can cover surface level facts. However, the next time you see the person, or after you've been talking for a while, try to go deeper. What are their values? What types of goals do they have for the future? What are their biggest hopes and dreams? These are all questions that give more insight into who people are and how we can connect with them. Number 5, share the conversation. Being mindful of how we communicate helps build stronger connections with others. When you start speaking with someone new, your sharing should be balanced. All conversations have a give and take. For example, if you ask your coworker about their 5-year plan, they may give you a long-winded answer. In the end, they should then ask you what your goals are. If you feel like the other person isn't asking about yourself, they may just be distracted. Don't be afraid to offer information about yourself and share your stories too. If the person keeps changing the subject back to themselves, though, they probably aren't a good connection to have. Number 6, be genuine with your admiration. Actively showing your appreciation for someone can put a smile on their face. You may even think that showering someone with admiration is a good foundation for a deeper connection. Compliments that were given without sincerity, however, are likely to make someone distrust you. Be careful with this on social media as well. If you're trying to build a connection with a new friend, you may be tempted to reach out to someone with lots of compliments. If you wouldn't say the same thing in real life, this can be deceptive. It's far better to give fewer, sincere compliments in the long run. This will make someone trust you more because it shows you're intentional and not just saying anything you can to gain a friend. Ultimately, that's the best way to connect with others. Number 7, be a good listener. Actively listening to people when they speak can tell you a lot about them. Think about how your conversations usually go with people. Do you interrupt their sentences? Are you judging them as they speak? Listening with an open mind lets you know them better. You also won't need to ask them the same question twice or have them repeat themselves. People like to be around good listeners because it makes them feel heard and understood. Number 8, schedule your time. Everyone gets busy. That can make it feel like there's zero time to connect with people. If you feel like you can't keep your time organized, rely on your calendar to help you out. Take a look and see when you can be the most social with others. Establish if weekends, weekdays, evenings, or mornings work best for you. Rather than feeling rushed, you can schedule when you want to connect with people so that you can have proper energy to do so. Number 9, maintain eye contact. Eye contact is one of the easiest ways to show someone you're interested in what they have to say. Being attentive in this way will help the other person see you want to build a deeper relationship with them. It also demonstrates that you're happy to be present with them and not thinking about being somewhere else. Maintaining eye contact makes people feel like they can trust you more, helps people open up, and keeps the conversation flowing. When you're face-to-face, just remember not to stare too hard at the person. A normal amount of eye contact is enough to help build the connection. And number 10, offer a smile. The person you're conversing with could be nervous or have social anxiety. Offering them a smile when you greet them or as the conversation progresses shows that you're having a good time. It can also reduce stress and awkwardness for both of you. A smile initiates more positivity and makes people feel comfortable enough to open up more. Even after learning how to connect with people, you can't jump in and make perfect connections with people right away. You need time to practice, make mistakes, and learn the best ways to connect with different people in your life. If you've been trying to deepen your connections and feel like it isn't working, you may need to ask for feedback. You're probably aware that taking initiative and asking for feedback at work can help grow your career. But have you ever thought about asking for feedback in your personal life? If you're overly stiff in conversations, interrupt others repeatedly, and have any other bad habits, your friends can tell you so. This will help you build better connections in the long term. We can always improve our communication skills. Taking the time to become a more effective public speaker, storyteller, and listener will benefit you for years to come. If your connection with someone new is building, you might find yourself mirroring each other's body language and behavior. This might not happen over a video call where you can only see the person from the shoulders up. However, in person, this phenomenon can help foster deeper connections. If you mirror the other person's behavior and language, intentionally or not, it's a sign that you're listening to what they're saying. It can instinctively make the other person feel more comfortable. Repeating similar language and words back to them shows that you've heard their words and you're echoing them in your response. You can try using this as a way to connect better with people. Learning how to connect with people is a great way to get closer to friends and family. It can also help us relate to coworkers and put new friends at ease. In life, our meaningful connections motivate us to reach our goals, work smarter, and improve our well-being. We can't do things alone all the time, and when we have people we can rely on, it makes our challenges seem not so impossible. It might seem daunting to put yourself out there, but that's how connections are made. Next time you have the opportunity to deepen your relationship with someone, take a breath and allow yourself to be curious. My mother said I never met a stranger. In fact, she was legitimately worried I would walk off with someone, anyone. In the mall, I can remember holding on to her poncho or the side of her purse. Yes, that tells you the error for sure. And many times I would let go and then just be in a daze and grab someone else. And she would find me touring around with another person. You know, those were the days. But even though it's easy for me to make friends and connections, I realize it's not easy for everyone. So if you're struggling with making connections, you just have to be more strategic. I hate the word can't. You know, I realize you can't do it easily, but that doesn't mean you can't do it at all. But be strategic. Like going to a movie or a sporting event to strike up a conversation isn't probably the best approach. But attending a networking event? Hello, natural icebreaker. That's why people are there, is to meet other people. You don't even have to think of an opener. How about hi? Is this your first time here? I'd like to learn more about your business. You can also look at volunteering or working on a project. This helps open up the conversation much easier because it's all about teamwork. You could also try attending a support group. Remember, support groups are a great way to connect. There doesn't have to be something wrong with you for you to go, and you don't have to share it with everyone if you feel insecure about it. But it's a great way to go connect with people, The whole idea of a support group is opening up and sharing. Also, remember, take a look around you. If you think everyone wants their alone time and you're the only one that feels lonely, you're wrong. People are craving connection. Don't assume that people don't want to be bothered or that you're the bother. Brian Frone reminds us to give what you want to get, enhancing relationships through generosity, found on LinkedIn. When it comes to social interactions, it's common for people to focus on getting what they want from others. However, the true key to successful relationships lies in giving what you want to receive. By shifting the focus from getting to giving, you can significantly improve the dynamics of your social interactions and create deeper connections with people all around you. We tend to operate on two distinct mental levels, our base level and a higher, more advanced level. Accessing this higher level requires intentional effort and practice. By default, our base level takes over, functioning primarily in survival mode. Think of it this way. Our perspective is primarily focused on the external world. We cling to things we enjoy and resist things we dislike. In this mode, our thinking is mainly transactional, as our minds constantly spin and urge us to take actions that preserve what we like and protect us from what we dislike. This behavior has become so ingrained that we often don't even realize it. Within this base level, we seek out validation, praise, safety, material possessions, and pleasure. The reason people tend to prioritize getting what they want is rooted in our base level of functioning. In this state, our attention is mainly directed towards our own needs, and in the process of that intensive self-focus, we may not have the time or inclination to consider what others require. As a result, we become self-centered, fearful, and transactional, working tirelessly to obtain more of what we desire and pushing away anything we don't. This state of mind makes it challenging to focus on others' needs. This is why a focus on our inner game is so important. If you want to improve the quality of your relationships and foster deeper connections, you need to take the first step by demonstrating what you want to receive. When you genuinely listen, show empathy, or provide sincere praise, you engage in the act of giving, benefiting both the other person and the dynamics of the interaction. By helping lift others to a higher level of functioning, you increase the likelihood of receiving what you desire. Operating from a higher mental state rooted in compassion, peace, and ease allows you to establish a genuine liking for others. This self-liking and other liking connections enhances trust and rapport, fostering positive relationships. Impressing others can be counterproductive if approached with the wrong mindset. When you catch yourself starting to brag about your achievements or qualities, it's important to pause and reflect. Instead of continuing down that path, take a moment to redirect. Ask the person some questions about themselves to draw out something that you can be impressed by. Think about the well-known saying, "People don't remember what you said, they remember how you make them feel." If your goal is to impress others and you are successful, it's likely that they will end up feeling inferior, inadequate, or even intimidated. Instead, focus on being genuinely interested in others and practice active listening. Active listening plays a vital role in building relationships. Everyone has a primal need to be heard and understood. By engaging in active listening and providing validation, you foster connection and trust. Strive to be a good listener and genuinely appreciate others. The principle of giving what you want to receive applies to both personal and professional relationships. As a leader, expressing authentic interest and appreciation for your team members is key to earning their trust. Balance your needs with a focus on giving, establishing trust, and achieving better outcomes. Yes, there can be risks in letting go of dominance and control, but operating from your higher level of functioning allows for authentic connections. By prioritizing giving, you tap into self-love and compassion, which others can sense, leading to trust and genuine connections. The principle of giving what you want to receive is valuable in conflict resolution. Active listening, validation, and empathy create a space for understanding and compromise, breaking down defensiveness and finding common ground. It's not always easy. Maintaining a balance between giving and receiving requires continual practice. Cultivate a mindset of generosity and compassion, giving without expecting anything in return. Let me say that again. Cultivate a mindset of generosity and compassion. This is done by giving without expecting anything in return. Practice self-awareness and self-care to stay aligned with this principle. By embracing the principle of giving what you want to receive, you can transform your relationships. Authentic connections, trust, and mutual respect will flourish, leading to enhanced collaboration, productivity, and overall well-being. Start by embodying the qualities you desire in others and watch the magic unfold in your relationships, both at work and at home. Emotional support. Social connections provide a source of emotional support during difficult times. This reduces our feelings of loneliness and isolation, which are so critical for well-being. We've already talked about the fact that it increases happiness. This can boost your mood and lead to more positive outlooks on life just by interacting with others. Fostering meaningful relationships can reduce your stress and boost your self-esteem. Positive social interactions can enhance your feeling of self-worth. It can also enhance your resilience by helping individuals cope with challenges and bounce back from adversity. Improved social connections can better our physical health. Research has proven that strong social connections are associated with better physical health outcomes, including a reduced risk of chronic diseases, which can lead to a longer lifespan. Social connections provide a sense of belonging and community, which can lead to a greater sense of purpose and fulfillment. Overall, being connected with others can significantly improve both mental and physical well-being, leading to a happier and healthier life. Before we go, let's bring it full circle with why social connections matter, found on the Texas A&M YouTube page.
What if I told you there was a drug that could reduce your risk of early mortality by almost 50%? What if this same drug helped breast cancer patients survive almost twice as long as a control group without it? And this same drug could reduce stress, anxiety, and depression among children and adults with no side effects? What if I told you this drug was genuine social connection? Now, granted, you can't take this in pill form, but the health impacts here are staggering. The human body is wired for connection, mentally, physically, and emotionally. Further, who you are connected to and the ideas and behaviors you're exposed to play an extremely important role in your life and your health. In network science, we use the term diffusion to represent how an idea or behavior is spread from person to person through social interactions and social connection. Tonight, I would like to guide you through a reflection of your own social connections and how they might impact your health and hopefully diffuse a little good health along the way. For this purpose, I've laid out three forms of social connection: close connection, common clusters, and coincidental contacts. While connection can mean so many things, I'd like to start off with a definition of connection from one of my favorite researchers, Brené Brown. As a social worker and social scientist who studies emotion and vulnerability Dr. Brown defines connection as the energy between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued, when they can give and receive without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. Now I'd like you to picture people in your life that fit that definition of close connection. These could be close friends, maybe family members. Most of you will have less than 5 people that fit this definition of close connection, but these people are the foundation of your social support network. Chances are all these people will know one another, as close friends and family members tend to interact, creating a dense web of interlocking connections and a stabilizing presence in your life. This stability can be a lifelong source of safety and support. However, it also means that the ideas and behaviors of this close-knit group can be hard to change, which grounds us in value systems and behavioral habits. Think about it. We tend to walk, talk, eat, play, think, even laugh like the people that occupy these closest social support roles. Building out from there, think about the groups in which you belong or the people you see on a consistent basis. These could be coworkers, classmates, people at church, or other groups you belong to. While you may have several of these common clusters, research tells us that they may not overlap, and they may only be privy to part of your life. Because of this distance, it's more likely that new ideas or behaviors will come from these groups as opposed to your core support network. Research also tells us that we may be more willing to confide in individuals in these groups during difficult or stressful situations, as they may not have access to others in our social circle, hence reducing the risk of judgment from those closest to us. Lastly, think about the otherwise random people you might bump into or encounter throughout the day. I've labeled these as coincidental contacts. These could be people in your neighborhood, a barista, or a cashier. While you may not know much about them, I'd like you to think of the nature of these interactions. Are they positive, negative, or otherwise neutral? Having more positive interactions in this way can significantly improve your mood, reduce stress hormones, and reduce your blood pressure over time. In fact, recent research on brain disorders like Alzheimer's and dementia indicate that it's these varied interactions, in combination with a strong social support network, that keep the brain functioning well. Now, before I close, I'd like to give you a bit of homework for each of these circles. Within coincidental contacts, remember that with a smile, eye contact, and a few positive words, you can improve your mood and health as well as theirs. Within common clusters, try to see connections between groups. Identify individuals that might benefit from knowing one another and make the introduction. Lastly, think back to the people that you listed as your close connections, the people that mean the most in your life. I'd like you to reach out to those people. Tell them what they mean to you and express gratitude and appreciation for their presence in your life. Expressing gratitude can not only strengthen your connection, but it can have significant health benefits for the both of you. By spreading just a bit of appreciation and positivity, you can diffuse good health to those around you. Thank you for your time.
Share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you. Building strong connections is vital for your well-being, as they provide a support system during challenging times, boost your happiness, and enhance your overall mental health. Be intentional and make connections that reduce stress, increase your sense of belonging, and contribute to a longer, more fulfilling life. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear.